First, if you've ever tried to learn a new language, whether you had to in school or you wanted to later in life, I'm guessing the experience went something like this. You sat in a classroom, studied grammar and vocabulary, and listened to a fluent speaker give examples of the right way to speak. While there are elements of that method that are useful and maybe even necessary, students are often not pushed to speak as much at lower levels, in part because there's a fear of them making mistakes and then repeating them until they become part of the learner's language use. But new research out of UW-Madison is looking at whether speaking more in a new language can actually increase comprehension when we hear others speaking. Mary Ellen McDonald is the Donald P. Hayes Professor of Psychology at the University of Wisconsin. She studies how people comprehend, produce, and learn language, and she's with us in the studio. Mary Ellen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So what happens in our brains when we're learning a new language?
Well, our brains change, because every bit of learning changes our brains, and we begin to make connections to different cultures. We begin to relate different words. We learn new words for things. We realize that, hey, this new language doesn't have a word that my language seems to have,
or vice versa.
Yes. And we learn that sentences can get scrambled in all kinds of ways in different languages than the one our language that we're used to.
So there are several components of language learning, and I kind of refer to some of them. There's learning vocabulary, so what are things called in another language? There are rules of grammar, how do we put those words together so they make sense to the listener? There's comprehension, and that's both of written or spoken language. And then there's speaking ourselves, actually expressing ourselves. And I'm sure I'm forgetting some other elements too, but how do all those different things fit together for us to actually be able to use a language?
Well, they fit together amazingly tightly. And in fact, language instruction researchers often think about, well, now today we're going to teach vocabulary, and then later in the day, maybe in the last 10 minutes, we'll teach a bit of grammar. But the vocabulary and the grammar are really tightly wound up together, because certain words can go in certain kinds of sentences and others can't. And unconsciously, when we learn our native language, we learn that linking between the words and the grammar, but often in foreign language instruction, those things are treated separately. That almost discourages linking them together.
Mm-hmm. It does seem like, at least like older styles of teaching languages, it was very much like, we're going to memorize this list of words and we're going to learn this one little isolated grammar thing, instead of looking at, like you said, the patterns. And once you figure out some patterns, you take a big jump up in understanding how a language works.
That's right. Exactly.
Let's dive into your research. What did you find out about the value of students constructing and speaking their own sentences instead of just repeating the perfectly constructed sentence of the native or at least fluent speaker that's teaching them?
Right. Well, my graduate student, Elise Hauptmann, and I designed an experiment to test the hypothesis that speaking could make you a better comprehender than practicing comprehension itself. So we designed an experiment in which we randomly assigned people to be either a comprehension learner or a speaking learner. And we had equal amount of experience in these two groups. And then we tested everybody on comprehension of this made-up language that everybody had to learn.
You actually made up a language, so it was a really level playing field.
Yes. So we made up a language, and this is not totally uncommon in a language learning study, because researchers want to have exact control over what people are going to learn and want to create a level playing field for everybody. And so we make up a little language that's not like any common language that we know, but isn't impossibly complicated either.
Mm-hmm. And so you have these two groups that are divided so you can compare how well they learn this made-up language. So the learners that were learning in the more traditional way, how were they learning the language?
They were doing things that were kind of like worksheets, except they were on the computer. So they would see a picture, and they would hear some of the made-up language, and they said yes or no whether the picture and the language that they heard were correctly matched. And then they got feedback, and whether they were wrong or right, they heard the correct language to go with that picture.
And how about the other group?
And so then the producers just saw that same picture, and they had to produce the little word or phrase or whole sentence that described that picture themselves. And then, no matter how accurate they were, they heard the correct sentence or word or whatever it was they should have said.
So they could have gotten it exactly right, and they would have heard the confirmation of that, or they could have been miles wrong.
That's right.
But they would still hear the right one.
Or silent. Some people were too embarrassed to say anything for a while.
So I have to say, I have studied a few languages. I've studied Russian, I've studied French, and Russian is really hard. I'll just put that out there. It's hard to feel at all proficient. But I have always, for whatever reason, I have always just spoken, you know, whereas there were people who were learning at the same time I was who were actually much better at the language, but they would get that tongue tied, I don't want to make a mistake. And it really held them back. And I made so many mistakes, I can't even count, and probably a lot I didn't even know I was making. But I still had that kind of fluency just because I was speaking. Is that kind of what you're finding?
Yes. So we created a situation so that, as you said, no matter how accurate or inaccurate people were, they always heard the right answer. And that combination of forcing people to speak and then tuning up whatever it was they said turns out to be really powerful in terms of making people more fluent.
We're talking with Mary Ellen McDonald. She's a professor of psychology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and she studies how people comprehend, produce, and learn language. And Mary Ellen, is there a point? So you created a language. I still just love that. You created a language to be able to test this with the two groups. Do you know if there's a point where, as people get more advanced in a language, is there a point where the more traditional type of learning starts to become more effective after they kind of have that baseline of where they've been producing the language themselves? Or is your research looking like, you know, this is the way to go for learning from literally word one to being fluent in that language?
Well, our research doesn't answer that question, but I think we can think a little bit about other aspects of language learning in the world for hints of that. So people know that being immersed in a language is a wonderful way to become fluent. And one of the major differences between immersion and classroom kinds of instruction is that the people who are immersed have to go about their day speaking and speaking and speaking. And they're not in only the early phases of learning. In fact, people who typically go abroad and spend a semester or a year in a foreign country learning a foreign language are much more advanced than that, and that is supposed to be incredibly helpful to making those people even more fluent. So I would predict that while there might be different mixes of perfect curriculum at different times of learning, producing is going to be really important for a long part of the learning process.
I think there's a belief that's very commonly held that once you're past a certain age, whether it's 6 or 12 or 18, that it's practically impossible to learn a new language. What would you say to adult learners who would really like to learn a language but feel like, oh, you know, my brain's just too old for that?
No, you're not too old for that. You might be too old to find your keys to get to the language class, but you're not going to be too old to learn language. You probably, your pronunciation will not be as good as somebody who's learning at 6. And if you're deeply embarrassed about never having perfect, perfect pronunciation, then maybe you shouldn't stick your toe in a foreign language. But in fact, most people are wonderfully happy to have non-native speakers attempt to produce their language and are happy to have their country opened up to foreign visitors. So you can learn, especially if you get brave and produce a lot, you can learn a foreign language.
So start learning and start talking and never stop talking.
Right.
Mary Ellen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Mary Ellen McDonald is the Donald P. Hayes Professor of Psychology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She studies how people comprehend, produce, and learn languages and joined us to share new research on the best ways to improve our second language skills. And if you've had experience learning a language and if you've managed to get over that hesitation of speaking, let us know about your experiences. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can can tweet us at Central Time WPR.